Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
Let's get it going. Welcome in to TNL Postgame Live. Appreciate you guys joining me. I'm Brian Haydad. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Paul Davis Restoration. When disaster strikes, you need a name you can trust. Paul Davis Restoration is here to help you recover from water, fire, mold, or storm damage 24/7. Their expert team provides fast, professional service to restore your home and business to its original condition. And they don't stop at just restoration. They offer property improvement services to make your space better than ever. Paul Davis Restoration, because your recovery and property improvement are their priorities. Call them at 662-769-7285. Let them bring your property back to life. I thought for a moment Mississippi State was going to be brought back to life. A game that, you know, I'm always the first to tell you guys, I certainly don't get all of my predictions right. If I did, I wouldn't be doing this podcast. I'd be living at the top floor of the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada. Robbie, obviously, kind of the same way. And, you know, I get some right and I get some wrong. This is one where, I mean, I really felt like I had a good inkling of what was going to happen in this game. And it played out basically the same way I thought. A little lower scoring than I thought it would be. I think I said 41-27. But it played out the way I thought it would. State wasn't able to get the stops. And A&M was able to get a couple stops here and there. And that was it. And that was the story of the game. So Mississippi State drops a 34-24 decision to Texas A&M here at Davis-Wade Stadium. And, you know, there's some positive to take out of it, obviously. You know, State was in the game, deep into the game. You can still hear the Aggie marching band in the background there. Great band, by the way. Great college band. But at the end of the day, State wasn't able to string together enough. And there were some times where defensively they couldn't get off the field, and there were some times where offensively they couldn't take advantage when the defense did get off the field. And, you know, obviously, you know, you look at the stats, State, you know, actually outgains Texas A&M 367-353. It's a little deceiving, though, because A&M starts two drives deep in Mississippi State territory. They start one at the MSU, where's the turnover? Is this the second half? No? Chronological? There we go. Texas A&M starts two drives deep in Mississippi. Yeah, on the State 28, and that's the interception. And then the fake punt, they start at the State 32. Both of those drives end in touchdowns. So it's not like they didn't get all the yards they could have possibly gotten there. They did. For State, you know, Van Buren in the first half, I think 173 yards passing. And then he finishes the game at 242. So A&M really dialed up the pressure in the second half, really came after him. I think four deflected passes in this game. And I had people texting me and tweeting me like, State's got to move the pocket. I mean, what difference does it make? You can't really move the pocket when there's guys back there 1 second after the snap. You're just going to roll right into the pressure. And they were able to bring a lot of it. State's offensive line continues to struggle. And then on defense, I mean, the first two, three drives of the game, Mississippi State just could not get off the field. A&M, what did they finish the day on third downs? 9 of 14. I think they were 8 of 8 at one point. So that's a good sign that State was able to make some adjustments after that. But State, two turnovers, and A&M got touchdowns off of both of them. State did score off of one of A&M's turnovers. Should have had a couple of more turnovers in this game. What ended up being an A&M touchdown drive, two interceptions dropped that were likely going to be pick sixes as well. Just a tough game for a team that's struggling. They're just trying to get over the hump. They feel like they're close, but A&M's a really good football team now. They're what, 6-1 on the year now? They are squarely in the race, not only for the college football playoff, but for the SEC championship. They're a pretty good team. You know, even if State came into this game 4-2 and we're playing better, they likely still would have been an underdog in this game. And not that you take anything from covering a game unless you bet on it. But it just kind of, you know, what did we say a few weeks ago? The slogan of this season is just, it is what it is. And, you know, State's just going to have to continue to fight and try to find their way through these games. The good news is, and next week against with Arkansas, you have a much better. If you play the way you've played the last 2 weeks, you can beat Arkansas. That is just the simplest way that I can put that. I thought Van Buren was very good, especially in the first half. A&M did a lot in the second half to get to him. And State almost outrushed Texas A&M in this game. Would have if not for some sacks. A&M with 3 sacks in the game. State didn't have a sack in this game. I'm going to look. I don't think State's had a sack in like 2 or 3 games. I could be wrong about that. But let's see. Hunter Bolin asks, is it fair to be pleased that we still approve but mad that we could have won? Absolutely. That is absolutely acceptable. And in honesty, it's the way you should all feel. You should be looking. Nothing is ever as bad or as good as we like to make things out to be. Some people, everything's bad. And you got some people who are just like, oh, you're just not seeing it. And it's the middle, guys. Everything kind of lies in the middle. State could have won this football game this today, which is something we told you all week on Thunder and Lightning, and I told you on Sports Talk Mississippi, that State, if they played their best game and they forced a couple of mistakes, they could absolutely win this game. And they had that opportunity. The other side of that coin was State didn't play well enough to do that. And so it's absolutely okay to be frustrated, to be mad. This team's 1-6. They're 1-6. To go to a bowl, they got to win out. That's tough. So it's absolutely okay. You can do 2 things at the same time. You don't have to be, this team is trash. And you also certainly shouldn't be, this team is a lot better than those negative media guys are making them out to be. The middle is where the truth lies. Simeon Potts is Jimmy and Joe's. That's a lot of it. That's a lot of it. Now, look, the defensive coaching, I'm not a coach, man, and I know that, and I know we've got people on other podcasts saying, you know, you can't question coaches if you never coached. Well, I mean, maybe you shouldn't question doctors if you've never, you know, been a doctor. But what I would tell you is this. When I see a cornerback lining up 9-10 yards off the we had 2 sacks of Texas. I've got my own media crew working. That is media relating at its finest. Thank you, Travis. I appreciate that. 2 sacks at Texas on the 28th. So no sacks, 2 games in a row with no sacks. Appreciate you. I'm not a coach. I don't profess to be one. But when I see a cornerback on first down lined up 9 to 10 yards off the line of scrimmage, and then his first step is back. I mean, guys are going to be wide open when you do that, and that's exactly what happened. Connor Wiegman had a lot of opportunities in this game. He didn't play particularly well. I thought State did a good job on him. 15 of 25, he threw 2 picks. A&M didn't run the ball particularly well. Le'Veon Moss, the leading rusher in the SEC, only 65 carries. I'm sorry, only 65 yards, on 3.8 yards per carry. A&M under 4 yards per carry for this game. It's crazy to say State did enough defensively because I don't think that's accurate. I don't think they did enough defensively. But they made a few plays here and there that gave the offense some opportunities. The problem was you could never get on the same page. When the defense was doing things correctly and getting guys off the field and making stops, you were giving the ball right back to Texas A&M. And when the offense was moving, as soon as you punted it back, you were giving the ball back to A&M. They were running down the field and scoring. So you could never get both sides of the ball on the same page tonight. I'm in the camp. We are paying the coaches to make good decisions regardless of the talent gap. That's accurate. Yeah. If a guy just gets beat, he just gets beat. But if he gets beat because he's out of position or he gets beat because he's already 10 yards off the ball when the ball is snapped and then he's another 5-6 yards off the ball when the ball is thrown, you got no shot. You got no shot. You could have Emmanuel Forbes and Fred Smoot out there and they're not going to get anything done. So very tough. Lance Musgrove, offensive and defensive lines must improve from the portal to have success next year. That is, in a nutshell, the most important thing to know about this team is they simply have to get better up front. Whatever money is spent in the portal, a good chunk of it is going to be on the lines of scrimmage. Now, I think you don't have to spend as much on the offensive side. You got to get a couple of key guys, but I'm willing to let some guys develop there. Defensive line, though, you need 3 or 4 real difference makers. You need to be able to go out and kind of do what Ole Miss has done the past couple of years. You need, I don't know if there's a Walter Nolan available, and I don't know that he'd want to come to Mississippi State, but you got to put all your chips in to try to get him. A guy like Jaheim Otis, you need to go try to get him. You need to find a guy who can come off the edge and give you some pass rush. Those are the things you're going to have to do in this upcoming portal class. Coleman Hutzler, will he be a part of that decision? I can't, you know, again, I'm not the one who makes the decisions. I don't have that power, but I can't see a future. I can't see a path forward for Mississippi State and Jeff Lebby with Coleman Hutzler. You know, something we said a lot this offseason, I know I said it at least five or six times on the podcast, was that if State, with this offense, if State was just 80th in total defense, they would be okay. And I stand by that. They would have won today. They'd be 5-2 probably. They might even be 6-1 if they were just 80th in total defense. But they're so bad on defense that it just kills the team. And so the decision to hire Coleman Hutzler looks like one that just sunk this season from day one. So I can't see how you go forward like that. But that's not going to be my decision. And will I be completely and totally surprised if Coleman Hutzler is here next year? No, I won't be completely and totally surprised. I won't agree with it. I won't think it's the right decision. Gregory Patterson, he has to go. I agree with that. But it is what it is. Matthew Anthony, great question. Do we feel better today than Auburn fans? You should. Auburn, if State played Auburn, I would really like State's chances because Auburn can't score. You know, maybe against this defense they could, but I feel like State would be able to put points on them. So I think Auburn fans, plus, you know, you bring in Jeff Lebby, first year head coach, you know, you're rebuilding. Auburn did not think that was the case. They brought in Hugh Freeze and they thought we're going to be competing for championships day one. So Isaac Smith, good player. Isaac Smith is a good player. Zachary Tillman, who had that interception in the fourth quarter, that was a huge play that gave State some momentum. He's a good player. You've got a couple of pieces here and there. You just don't have enough of them. And that's, like I said, the portal is going to be so key for Mississippi State. I'm just telling you, the number that I keep hearing from people here is between $12 and $15 million expecting to be spent in portal money to get this defense and get this roster back to where it belongs. Are either of those fourth down decisions even the slightest bit defensible? Rob Hadaway. Two things. I say that the decision to go forward in the first half, it's defensible. It's not, I wouldn't have done it. I would have just punted the football away. The fake punt, the play call is not defensible. I don't think you can fake a punt there. I think you just need to keep your offense on the field. The idea that you need to go for it fourth and eight from your own, I think, 32 is defensible because you're looking around, you're saying, I have no faith in this defense whatsoever. And Sam Sharma says that the fake punt is the ultimate lack of confidence in Hutzler. Correct. You had no faith that your defense could get a stop. You're like, we got to stay on the field. We got to do what we got to do here. And it just doesn't work out. I don't mind the decision as much as I mind the play call. I don't like the idea of a fake punt there. And that point, just let your offense have a shot there, you know, and just sort of go with that. If you get new coaches, does that cut into the budget to get players? No, those two totally separate budgets. Totally separate budgets there. Nothing to worry about that. Van Buren looks good. The running game, first time Devon Booth really showed up this year. I thought he was good. 12 carries for 79 yards. It's a little skewed because he has 12 carries for 79 yards, right? One carries for 40 and one is for, like, I think 17. So 57 on two carries, which means the other 10 carries are like 21 yards or something like that. Not great. Johnny Daniels, 13 carries for 50 yards. But at the end of the day, if I can get 25 carries for 129 yards out of those two guys every game, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay there. So the running game, I said on Friday, Sports Talk Mississippi, needed to show up today to give State a chance. It did. It absolutely gave them a chance in this game. It's a tough loss. It's a bad loss. It's not a bad loss. Let me rephrase that. It's definitely not a bad loss. But it's just tough week after week when you feel like you're making progress and you feel like you're getting closer and you can't get there. This next game coming up, this Arkansas game, is a massive game. Does Parson come back next year? I would be amazed if he did. Why would he? He's behind MVB. He's behind Shapen. and he's behind. He'll be behind. He won't be behind Kamario Taylor, but Kamario Taylor is coming, and State will probably bring in another portal guy. So yeah, so need to let Shapen go. Why on earth would you let an experienced guy like that go? Probably not going to cost you a whole lot. See, Mike. Not going to cost you a whole lot. Not going to be a. Why would you let Shapen go? Makes zero sense. If we lose to Arkansas, much of the good vibes will be lost. Correct. Correct. You need to win that game. If you lose that game, that's when it turns into, okay, it's going to be 2-10. You need to win that game. But it is what it is. Beck threw another interception? That's two, right? I said Texas was going to win that game, though. Thoughts on Creed and Hudson on the sideline? They're still practicing with the team. They are redshirting. They are still practicing like any other redshirt freshman would do normally, and then they'll make a decision at the end of the year. I think they'll go, but we'll see how that is. I might would start MVB over Shapen this year. I would too. I think MVB is more talented than him. I like what I see from Van Buren, and he's the young guy. I would start him if I could too, but I definitely like the idea of having an experienced backup that doesn't cost you a whole ton in the portal to get. That's just a great idea. Winning one SEC game is the goal now. No, the goal is to win every game you play. But it would be nice to win one SEC game. It would be nice to win a game. I mean, that's a start, right? You got to start somewhere. So Tennessee tore down the goalpost after winning a number 11 versus number 8 matchup. They did. They went like 30 years without ever beating them. Now they've beaten them two in a row. Let them have it. Let them smoke their cigars. Alabama. That came down pretty fast, didn't it? They've got another loss coming, at least one. They'll lose to LSU, I think. What's the score of that LSU game? Somebody put that in the into the chat for me. Hey, don't forget, we're brought to you by our good friends over at Lazy Guys. If you need dinner delivered in Starkville or Columbus, ditch DoorDash, unload Uber Eats, go local with Lazy Guys. Use the promo code. We got a new promo code, guys. Let's change this up. The promo code is NIL10. And what you're going to do is we're going to give you 10% off your order, and then Lazy Guys will donate 5% of your order to the Bulldog Initiative. So, boom, you're helping out the Bulldog Initiative while you're sitting on your couch. Download the Lazy Guys app or go to www.lazyguys.com. If you don't want to leave the couch during the game, if you don't feel like fighting the crowds at the store, if it's picking up groceries for dinner or it's dinner itself, make sure you go local and support the Bulldog Initiative with Lazy Guys. 16-7, LSU. Very good. That's not surprising. I thought that was a trap game, but LSU I thought would win that game. Arkansas, they're kind of like Mississippi State. They're better than you. Okay, they're not like Mississippi State in that way. Arkansas is better than I thought they would be, but they're still not good enough to get over the hump there. Gregory passing out. See, Dak showed up for the game. Yeah, I got word in the middle of the week that Dak was going to be here. Obviously, they built this game around the Cowboys bye week, so having him here was always the plan. Of course, you never know. Things happen. He has a small child. Something could have happened. But he was here. Mullen was here. Great to see those guys back. I thought the 2014 team, the presentation was great. Seeing the families of Dorenia Wilson and P.J. Jones, two guys who left us way, way too soon, was fantastic. I thought that was great. Better crowd than I – yeah, the crowd was okay. I didn't see what they announced it as. Let me check the stats here. They announced 50,127. Probably closer to 45, but that's fine. Do you think the 2014 team is disappointed in this outcome? No, they're jubilant that State lost. Come on, guys, let's think before we ask questions. You know the answer to that. 40K for Arkansas? No, I don't know. That's a game State fans are going to look at and say, "Hey, we could win that." They might show up for that one. We'll see. I think you just have to accept what's happening here right now. You just have to accept the fact that this team is rebuilding. They're playing better each week. They're getting closer. And that next week you're playing an Arkansas team that you can beat. And if you do that, I think you're going to be okay. We'll just have to wait and see, though. I took enough from this game today to make me think that State can win next weekend, that they can win against UMass, obviously. And they can find a way to win one more. I really do think that. Now, it's going to be tough. You look at Missouri today. Missouri, they're not great. So that's maybe one you can get. The Egg Bowl just kind of is what it is. I don't know there. Craver, any update? I haven't seen one yet. I haven't really been checking Twitter while we've been talking here. Like I said, if my guess is, there's no update, and we probably won't find out anything until Wednesday. when we get the injury report. So, is today something you can sell to Caleb Cunningham? Say, look at what Lebby is doing with this talent versus what DeBoer is doing with all the talent he has. That's a good pitch there. You look at Alabama, and you're like, look, they got all this talent and they can't win. We bring a guy like you in, and all of a sudden, this offense is moving up and down the field. Caleb, you were worth the 10 points we needed today. That's definitely a way that I would I would agree with that. That's what they have to do. And I think also seeing him with the young quarterback, he sees Kevon Lee and he's like, okay, that's somebody – or not Kevon Lee. I see there's a question about Kevon Lee, my bad. Michael Van Buren, and he says, that's a guy that I could grow with. Status of Kevon Lee, I mean, I don't expect him back anytime soon. We announced a couple weeks ago he was injured. Lebby said he would be out for a long time. One thing that concerned me today is once Craver got hurt, State ran a lot of four wide today with two tight ends. They ran a lot of sets with Akari or Craver and Coleman, but also Traore and Ball. And I thought that was odd. I thought that, you know, do you not have a fifth and sixth wide receiver that you really trust? It feels like you trust Akari, Coleman, and Craver. And then there was later in the game, I had to ask somebody because there was a number 12 on the field. Well, if you look, we have the roster right here. The only number 12 is Tyler Woodard. And I'm like, that's not him. Apparently it was Jaden Wally. Jaden Wally was wearing number 12 today for some reason. But like Stonka got on the field a couple times early, but it just doesn't feel like State has the depth in that wide receiver. And a part of that is Trent Hudson and Creed Whittemore are redshirting. Like when Craver went down, if I'm Lebby, I'm looking over at Creed. I'm just going, maybe we should reconsider. But just kind of is what it is there. 11:45 kick Saturday, next Saturday for Mississippi State versus Arkansas. So we'll have Thunder and Lightning tomorrow, sometime tomorrow afternoon. That'll be up. Press conference for Lebby on Monday. We'll talk about that, and then we'll have plenty of coverage all week. Here on Sports Talk Mississippi, on Thunder and Lightning live on Wednesday night. Plenty to talk about as Mississippi State takes on Arkansas next weekend. Guys, enjoy the rest of your night. Enjoy college football this evening. Big games being played. Hope you'll tune into them. And we'll be plenty to talk about next week as State takes on Arkansas. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Appreciate Paul Davis Restoration, Golden Triangle, and Lazy Guys for sponsoring us. Until talk to you again. Brian Haydad here for Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.